us, Lord.
And Lord, that they would seek you out and ask the question. We love you, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, in our day and age, I think that we can say that wisdom and knowledge has increased. I mean, we know so much. Isn't it amazing the changes, the technology that we have? It's like it's just increased so much. I know Grandpa always says that he lived in an amazing generation. You know, he went from one place where you know, you didn't see that many things, and then the place he is at now, it's just like technology has done a big boom, right? It's just gone crazy. Knowledge has increased. And you know, the Bible does tell us that knowledge will increase in these days. And I think we are in these days because knowledge has increased. And I think people like to consider themselves, you know, sophisticated, wise, knowledgeable. Nobody likes to think of themselves as foolish, right? We want to think of ourselves as knowledgeable, and I think that's how our society thrives in thinking, oh, we know a lot and we do a lot and we want to be wise. And you know, God says here, then he talks about these people that thought they were wise, but they weren't wise. And he tells them here that they're actually foolish. Because they had not known him. He says they're dull, they're sottish, they don't have any understanding. They're wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. And I just think, man, that sounds a lot like where we are. It just sounds like a lot of people that we see, that we are. We're full of a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom, but it seems like all this knowledge and wisdom is useless. It's good for nothing because it's not the knowledge that works out for the best. I mean, and we're all full of pride of how much we know and our ability. It seems like ability is also something that just, it seems like it's getting better and better and better. You know, soccer players, like they're just getting better, and basketball players, they're just all getting better at certain things. And you're just thinking, wow, this is interesting. And everybody's just getting better and stronger, and it seems like pride is going up too, right? We're just more proud. And, but you think about it and it's like the things we're proud of make no sense.
Right.
I'm so proud. We're the greatest. We're the best because we can throw a football exactly where we want it. But I can't keep my marriage together. I don't have a good relationship with my wife. This is, well, what are we boasting about? What is our knowledge? What is our ability? What is it that we have this great understanding about? Is it meaningful if we can't even do the things that are basic in life? That are basic in what matters? I mean, really, I think the knowledge that we've gotten in technology and the growth that's been in all of this, isn't what we should really be boasting about. Isn't really what we should be focusing on. And I think we've lost a lot of the knowledge that we used to have. How about just being a good man where you can take care of your family, actually be there for your family? Doesn't that matter? Yeah, that does matter, but it's been over-trumped or you know, shattered over because we're worried about other things. It doesn't add up. How is it that we're getting more knowledgeable? How is it that we're getting more enlightened? How is it that we have all these greater things and abilities and everything, and yet the things that are important in life are being overlooked?
Amen.
It doesn't make sense. But that's what it seems like. And it seems like that's how it was at this time. These people, They thought they had so much knowledge. They had so much wisdom. They had so much ability. They had all these things. Even sometimes it seems like they were rich and they were prosperous and they had all these things, but God was looking at them and he's saying, you don't have any wisdom. You don't have any knowledge. You're sottish. You're dull. You're senseless because you don't know me.
Amen.
It kind of sounds like what God says to, Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, right? Oh, you think you're increased with goods. You think you're so, you know, you're strong. You think you have all the, everything figured out. But he says, you don't understand. You don't see. You're actually blind. You're naked. You're wretched. You're miserable. And that's kind of like the words he speaks here. And so I think this is very fitting for us. He mentions a few things here, and I'm going to go kind of in a reverse order. Here in verse 22, I'm going to start with the last one first and then end with the one he mentions at the beginning. The last one he mentions is he says, they are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Wise to do evil. Like we're so good I think it says in Spanish, maquinaciones. We're so good at coming up with things and coming up with ways to do what we want to do and get what we want. We're so good at it. We're so good at defrauding one another. Right? I mean, people are so good at getting what they want and taking advantage of the system or of the boss or of anybody else. They're really good at coming up with ways to do it and get away with it. People are wise, boy. They're smart. They know how to get what they want. It's an amazing thing how they can do it. And they get all the things they want. They can do all these things and they're wise. They're wise to do evil, he says. It almost sounds like they put a lot of effort into it. Right? Y'all are wise to do evil. It's like, boy, y'all want to get something and y'all know, and y'all do everything you can to be able to do it. To be able to get that. To be able to get away with it. And it's interesting, right? Sometimes you think, boy, if this guy just put as much effort into living honestly, he would do pretty well because he puts a lot of effort into doing things dishonestly. Yeah. And you know, it's amazing how that is just abundant. We know how to get what we want and we strive to get it. We're wise to do evil. And yet, he says, to do good, they have no knowledge. You put out all this effort and they're putting out all this effort to do things and the world is full of it, putting out all this effort, and yet there's no effort into doing what's right, what's good. Why aren't we seeking that? He says in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any man that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. He's like, is there anybody that's actually looking to do right, to do judgment? Is there anybody actually looking for the truth? God was looking for somebody, and everybody was just off on their own way, doing their own thing, seeking their own good, and actually being very wise and evil, and not seeking, not knowing how to do good. It sounds very much like the society we live in today. Sounds a lot like what's full of, and we see it all the time. Wise to do evil. And I just think it's amazing how there's so much evil going around. There's so much evil, and yet people want to make it out like it's a good thing. And this is, I mean, this, I guess it's like the new religion, right? It's a wokeness. And this is really about getting us to agree that things that are evil are actually good. This is what we're trying to get everybody to agree with. And it's not right.
Right.
I mean, there's some things that are just clearly wrong, and yet the new knowledge, the new wisdom is to say, these aren't wrong, these are okay to do. And it's wise to do evil. I think about abortion and amazing how people are so good at trying to come up with a way to excuse abortion. There's so much effort put in to saying that abortion isn't wrong. And yet it should be something that is naturally just distinguishable. That's a wrong thing to do. And of course they want to go into all the exceptions and all these other things, but listen, there's very few exceptions. Mostly it's just an evil thing. They want to get rid of their baby. And that's evil. That's wrong. And it should be recognized as wrong. There's nothing wrong with recognizing that that is wrong. But you'll be made to feel wrong if you point it out. It's strange. Why is there such wisdom to do evil and there's no knowledge to do good? And along with this, you have all the other things that are coming up. And listen, I think it's so hard because it's stuff that we kind of feel like we don't even want to talk about, but yet they're just in front of us every day. You see it, you face it, your children will see it. They'll see it when you're walking down the aisle at HEB. There's people that are boys or men that are trying to act like girls or women. And they're not only trying to act like it, they're actually going to go do surgery so that they can look like it. And they're actually going to get some stuff injected into them so that they can start acting like it. And they're going to actually go notarize their name so that they can get a name changed so that they can actually be a different person. This is becoming normal.
Amen.
At least it's being pushed to be becoming normal.
Right.
Yep.
It really, I don't think it's a great percentage of the population that acts like that or is like that. Yet, it's like the biggest thing that's being pushed all over, which doesn't make any sense. But the point is, it's an evil thing and people want to be wise to do evil. That's what the society is like. But the push for it is great. Right now, it's not that great. But I think that it's going to become a big problem in the future. Because it's being pushed so much. It's being pushed so much. And what's wrong with being able to stand up and say, that's not right? That's wrong. What's wrong? Why can't we be able to know and have knowledge of how to do good? How to have a family and to raise a family. But you know, this is actually destroying families. Can't we see that? This destroys families. This is evil. And yet, we don't see it. At least the world doesn't see it. And I think the sad thing is that this is infiltrating in the church.
Yeah.
Because this is what happened. I mean, the Jews at that time were accepting all the traditions and all the gods of all the other people, and they became just accepting, and they became doing the things that they used to do. And he comes and says, "My people is foolish. Why are y'all acting the same way they're acting?" That's what God was saying. And I think the sad thing about today is this is what we're seeing today. We're seeing churches that are propagating, saying that homosexuality is okay. They actually appoint ministers that are homosexual so that everybody can feel comfortable. But there's something wrong with that. It's evil and it shouldn't be done. It should be called evil.
Amen.
Before that, he says they are sottish or they are dull, they're senseless. That's verse 22 where we are. And he says they're sottish children and they have none understanding. And when he's talking here, I don't think he's talking about evil again. I think that's what he's talking about in the next one. But he's talking about they don't have any understanding. They're dull. They're senseless. Why? I think it's because he's trying to say they're not seeing the consequences of their deeds. They're not seeing what's coming. And he mentioned this in a few places. You can see in verse 7 of chapter 8, he talks about it. He talks about the stork in the heavens. They know their appointed times, right? Right? These birds, the cranes, they know, they observe the time that's coming. But he says, my people know not the judgment of the Lord. And I think that's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, y'all are dull, y'all are senseless, y'all don't have understanding. How can y'all not see the consequences of the things y'all are doing? Y'all have, Y'all have given yourselves over to idols, and y'all think that nothing bad's gonna come, nothing bad's gonna happen. In fact, at the end of the chapter, he says, y'all are gonna dress up. Y'all are gonna dress yourself up like if you're a woman that's expecting, you know, her husband coming back, and it's gonna be all pretty, and it's gonna be all nice, like y'all are gonna accept all these things, and it's gonna be a beautiful future. But he says, what I see, the reality, is you're gonna be screaming like a woman in travail giving birth. That's what it really looks like. While you think it's all going to be nice, it's really going to be a bad thing. And what the people couldn't see is they couldn't see the future. They couldn't see the consequences. They couldn't understand judgment that was coming. And you know, I think it shouldn't be that hard to see that. It shouldn't be that hard to see the consequences. And not only, you know, God's judgment upon certain things, but even just natural consequences. Shouldn't we be able to see this? Shouldn't we be able to just look at it and understand, hey, if we're confusing our children by giving them the options and, you know, you can be a girl, you can be a boy, you can be whatever you want, and all these different crazy things that they're coming up with, this is going to affect in the future. This has future problems in the family. Naturally speaking, just, you know, homosexuality does not make sense. That's like another word for extinction. I mean, right? It doesn't make sense. Just can't you just follow and see the natural consequences of what's coming from your decisions? But this is what he's saying. They have no understanding. They're dull. They cannot see the consequences that are coming from their decisions. And you know, this is what we need. We need to be able to analyze, to think about the things that we're doing. Young people really need to think about the things that they're doing because consequences come later. Right now you get to make all choices, but consequences are going to come. So be careful what you choose. Amen. You can't go on doing all these things and not expect consequences to come. If you get into pornography, there's going to be consequences. If you get into drugs, there's going to be consequences. Anything you do is going to have consequences. So you better think about things. You want to be wise? Then think about what comes from your decisions. And God says, what is going on with my people? They're sottish. They're dull. They don't understand. They don't have any understanding. They can't see. And he tells them that a few times. He says in chapter 5, verse 4, he says, therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. They don't understand that judgment is coming.
Amen.
And the choices that you make will have consequences. And the choices that this society has been making at large, you know, what they're letting and what they're allowing and everything that's going on is going to have major consequences. And this is where God is trying to say, wake up. Can't you see? Why are you without understanding? Why don't you understand the decisions y'all are making will have consequences? And sometimes they're just things that look normal because we're so wise to evil. It's like evil has just become something that's normal. And so we don't see the consequences that are coming until it's too late. I was reading an article about a woman, I think 20 years old, and she got in and she got into trafficking. They actually ended up trafficking her. That's sex trafficking. And you know, that's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing that's going on today, right now. Amen. It's happening. And that's a horrible thing. But this lady was like 20 years old. And I was like, how did that happen? Because I mean, I know that, you know, I'm very scared, you know, that our daughters, you know, small girls get stolen or something like that. And I do not want that to happen. But this lady was 20 years old and I was wondering, what happened? She goes on to tell her story and she says, well, I responded to an ad that said they were looking for swimsuit models. and fitness models. And she was going to go to take pictures of her in a swimsuit. And I just had to think, I know it's a horrible thing what happened to her, but you have to think about the consequences. I don't think anything good's from you becoming a swimsuit model. I'm sorry. You might think, oh, that's just a normal thing. It's fine. I mean, what's wrong with a swimsuit model? I don't think you should ever have a desire for people to take pictures of your body and to sell it that way.
Amen.
I don't think any good comes from it. But isn't it all over the place? Yeah, it is. But I don't think any good comes from it. I don't think that's something that God had planned for us. No, I don't think it's something we should be doing. And you know, young women, young girls, and this is what this lady said, and I think that's a good thing. She said, I want to tell people my story because I don't want them to make those choices.
Amen.
I don't want what happened to me to happen to them. And I think where that should start is get your focus straight. Don't think that being a model is the greatest thing there is, because it's not.
Amen.
Little things like that, all the way down to very, very bad things that we're deciding, we're choosing, and yet the consequences will come. But you know, people often don't think about the actual consequence of their sin in ultimate judgment. They don't understand. They don't know that God is judge and He's going to judge them for their sins. It's like that's just something that nobody wants to think about. Nobody wants to talk about. Let's just put it out of our minds that we're going to be judged for our sins. Who wants to talk about that? But I mean, isn't it something that we should just automatically know and understand? I mean, do we have any sense of justice? Do we have any desire for things to be right, to come out and for everything to be placed in the right place that it should go? Well, the thing about it is, if we start believing evolution, if we start thinking that everything just happened and there is no creator, there is no designer behind it, then that means really in the end, everything's meaningless. All of us, our whole life is meaningless, which gives way to, any type of genocide where one wants to feel superior than the other. And hey, there's nothing inherently wrong by killing somebody else is what the thought would be. There's nothing that they have that matters. If there is no God, if there is no designer, if there is none of that, then everybody's out for themselves. That's just not the way it is, because there is a creator, there is a God, and He is going to judge. He is going to make things right. Those people that have been doing these things that we mentioned, they're going to get their payment one day. Everything's going to be found out. Everything is going to be made manifest. And God is going to judge all sin. But that is something that has been pushed back and we do not want to hear. We do what we don't want to hear about it. We don't want to talk about it. And we'll mock whoever is talking about it. But that's why God has to say, y'all are foolish. Y'all are foolish. You don't have any understanding. You don't know the ways of the Lord, and you don't know the judgment of their God, because you've decided to leave all that aside and just continue in your sin joyfully. So yeah, that's basically what happened here, and that's basically what's happening in our time. We're closing our eyes and we're pretending there is no God, there is no judgment. I can do whatever I want, and it's all going to be okay. And in this book, it says that there's prophets. They're coming around and they're saying it's okay, everything's okay, it's all at peace. Y'all are fine with God. God is fine with you. And they believed it. You know why? Because they wanted to believe it.
Right. Yeah.
But we got the same thing right now. People are saying it's okay. There's no hell. There is no God. There is no judgment. And everybody willingly wants to believe that, because we don't want to be held accountable for our sin. But that's why what should matter is what God says in verse 5 is those that seek the truth. Why isn't the truth what matters to you? Right? Why has everybody just decided to forget about what truth is and just do whatever they want? Truth is what matters. And judgment is coming, and that's the truth. And God wants us to recognize that. But the thing about it, and the great thing about it, is that God, before His judgment, offers forgiveness.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He doesn't have to. No, that's actually a mercy.
Amen.
That's a great mercy. God doesn't have to warn us of the judgment that's coming. He doesn't have to call out and say, hey, return, come unto me. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to say, repent of your sins, I'll forgive you. But He does. And that's His great mercy. And yet, even through His great mercy, it says in verse 22, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They have not known their God. They have not known Him. Why not? Was it God's fault? No. At the beginning of the chapter, it says, chapter 4, verse 1, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not be removed or removed. God was willing. God was calling out to them. God wanted to have mercy and show mercy on them, and yet they would have none of it. What does it say? It says in chapter 5, the end of verse 3, it says, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. God is there. Oh, and not this, you know, evil God that doesn't care and that just wants to do whatever He wants to do and destroy everybody. No, the loving God who actually doesn't want to judge the sinner, who doesn't want to condemn them, and He doesn't want the death of the sinner. He wants to save them, and He's calling out, return, repent, I'll forgive you. And yet they don't want to know Him. That's what's going on right now. There is salvation. The salvation is found in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ died on the cross. Look at the length of His love, how far He went to be able to bring salvation to those that are in sin and that are going to be condemned. He actually became a man.
Thank you, Lord.
And He suffered. And that was real suffering.
Amen.
You know, it says that He humbled Himself to death. But not just to any death. He humbled Himself to the death of the cross.
Thank you, Lord.
The death of the cross was an excruciating thing that Romans had come up with to really torture people. It was a bad thing. And He was willing to go through that. To save. Save who? Save people that were loving evil. Loving wickedness. Anybody here want to say you never loved wickedness? Anybody here can say you've never wanted and desired to do sin? No, we're all wicked. We're driven. We're driven with wickedness. We want to go and do the wicked things. They're in our mind. They're still in our mind. We still have to cast them out.
Amen.
And yet, He looked at us and He wanted to save us.
Amen.
Amen.
And He extends His arms. He opens His arms. He says, my arm's not shortened. I can save you. I'm here. I'm reaching out. And yet, they made their faces harder than a rock. They refused to return. God offers His forgiveness, His love, and we offer our backs. We put our heart and our face hard like a rock. We don't want to accept it. We don't want to come to know God. We want to stick in our mud. We want to stay in our wickedness, and we don't want to have anything to do with God. And yet, the promise doesn't fail.
Thanks, Lord. Amen.
You know, if God would have taken you out whenever, I guess, you should have been taken out, none of us would be saved.
Amen.
Amen.
But He had mercy even before we were saved to just allow us the time to be able to hear the gospel.
Amen.
To hear salvation. And He reaches out and He's extending His mercy. He's extending His mercy to you today.
Amen.
You are a sinner.
Amen.
You are condemned because of your sin. Judgment is coming. Get understanding. Be wise. Recognize that judgment is coming. God will judge you for your sin. And there is no work you can do to save you from it. Your ability is not that great. You cannot save yourself, and there is nobody else that can do it. There is no religion that man has come up with that can get you to be saved. No religion. There is no intermediate. There is no other savior. Mary cannot intercede for you. None of the saints can intercede for you. Muhammad is not a prophet that will intercede for you. Jesus Christ, though, He did.
Amen.
He died on the cross and He rose again the third day.
Amen.
He is God manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
And He Himself gave His own body to save us from our sins.
Thank you, Lord.
And He offers that. He offers that forgiveness. He offers that to you today. But the choice is yours. Will you have wisdom? Will you have true knowledge and recognize your sin and recognize judgment that's coming? And instead of hardening your face, will you humble yourself?
Amen.
Will you cut off that flesh that's around your heart and open yourself to Jesus Christ? This is an offer that He has today. Today, He says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, He says, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
That's a promise. And what an amazing thing,
yes,
that you and I could be saved out of this filthy world. Where it's wise to be able to do evil. It's full of people that are calling evil good and good evil. And yet, He reaches out and still extends mercy to you.
Yes.
And if you want to be saved, He can save you.
Yep.
You can be saved today. Not through your works. Not through your effort. No, it's recognizing that you and I, we fall short. You and I, we're sinners.
Amen.
But Jesus Christ came to save.
Amen.
Sinners.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So get your pride out of the way and humble yourself before Him and seek Him. Call upon Him and He will hear. He will save you.
Amen.
That's the message of the gospel. Listen, the truth about sin, the truth about wickedness, the truth about judgment, that's all real. And that's all very, very bad stuff. It's not good news. But the good news is here, and it's that Jesus Christ will save.
Amen.
And we can't say that enough. It can't be said enough. People just dismiss it. And we need to continue to announce it to the world. There's salvation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you have any questions, you can talk to one of us. You can talk to somebody, ask them to show you what the Bible says about salvation and justification before God, and we'll be glad to open the Bible and show that to you. Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Oh Lord, You are righteous, You're holy, You are just. And the fact that You've given us this time, that You've given us the ability to live until today, is amazing mercy. It's great what you have shown and done for us, Lord. And yet, You did more, Lord. You actually went to the cross and died in order to save us, Lord. And we are eternally grateful for that. We thank You for the salvation that there is in Your name. We thank You for what You were willing to do. Lord, today I know that Your promise is still available. You're still calling. You're still offering salvation and forgiveness of sins, a renewed life. Lord, I thank You that You're still calling. If there's anybody here that is not saved, anybody that doesn't understand, doesn't know, anybody that's still insecure of what judgment is, and maybe their fear of their sin being manifest is still in them, Lord, I ask that You would just open their eyes, open their hearts, give them the light of the gospel, Lord. Amen. Please remove all hindrances. Amen. Remove any stumbling block that's hindering them from coming to You. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be here at 7 o'clock tonight to have the Lord's Supper. You're welcome to come.